The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome back to the show, former Staff Sergeant Green Beret Nate Boyer. He made multiple war deployments as a Green Beret and then went on to play college football for University of Texas before moving on and signing on as an undrafted free agent by the Seattle Seahawks right before the 2015 season. And he's got a couple charities going on, Merging Vets and Players with Jay Glazer, as well as Water Boys, which we've talked about in the past. Nate, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me, guys. How are you guys doing?
Oh, we're doing well. We're talking about a Seahawks win, Nate, and that's a good way to start off the season.
Wasn't it the same score as the last win, the end of the year last year?
In 2013, they opened up the season, that Super Bowl season, they won on the road with 12 points against the Carolina Panthers.
But, I mean, didn't they beat Minnesota 12-10 in the playoffs last year, too?
Oh, was that a 12-point win, too?
Oh, could have been. I hadn't looked that up.
I think so.
I think they
almost came back on Carolina the next week, but I think that's how I could be wrong, but I've never been wrong before, so this would be a first.
Never wrong.
Right. So let's not look it up. We're just going to assume he's right because he's always right.
Well, Nate, did you have a chance to watch the Seahawks this weekend? Did you have any takeaways? Because I know. Yeah, the big thing leading up to that game, there was a lot of talk of what the Seahawks were going to do before the national anthem. And as we know, you were involved with Kaepernick and that. We saw you on the sidelines. It had an open letter in the Army Times to Colin. And so was that kind of on your radar to watch and see? Or did you, in your talks with the team, did you already know it was going to happen?
Yeah, no, I did. A few of the guys kind of reached out during the Kaepernick thing. Not the thing, but when I went down to meet with them, and they, a few of the guys reached out and were like, you know, I think that's really cool. You're keeping an open mind with this and you're willing to kind of listen to them. And we've been talking about some similar stuff and trying to figure out what to do, but we really want to do sort of as a team. And that was all, kind of player generated, which is pretty cool. And, so they kind of kept me in the loop, bounced off, some ideas, and they were just really, you know, sensitive to and wanted to make sure that the veteran community would be, you know, not offended by the thing. What's frustrating about this whole situation, though, to me, is that what he's doing has nothing to do with the veteran community. It's just, you know, people are getting kind of sidetracked on that because of what he's protesting, like as far as his you know, taking a knee during the anthem, but that's not the issue he initially brought up. It's sort of a direction that people in the media kind of took it, unfortunately. So,
well, and I don't know if we can say that it's completely with the media, because I know reading the article in Army Times, I know initially you kind of had maybe a negative reaction toward it. Mm-hmm. And you see a lot of veterans kind of take that initial negative reaction. And I even spoke with a lot of veterans before the game with the Seahawks, and they were concerned. So it definitely doesn't seem.
Well, but the media put out that they were all going to take a knee together. They like put that was pure BS. That the media kind of the controversy that they stirred up just because they knew it would get people fired up, and that's what they love to do, you know. So I don't know. It was just like that's not the underlying issue and the reason that he's doing what he's doing, although I don't necessarily think it's the best way to do it. And you know, maybe disagree with it even, but he has the right to do what he's doing. I did fight for that. And, at a minimum, it started an important conversation back up, and, maybe it's kind of gone sideways a little bit, but for the most part, as far as the players are concerned, it's pretty cool to see them kind of step up. I just saw today, Brandon Marshall from Denver. I think it was yesterday. He met with the chief of police in Denver and, was getting involved with some youth in the community already. So like he's taking action after taking the knee. So that's pretty cool. That's important. That's the whole point of this thing.
Now, it's interesting, Nate. You brought up the media and their role in all of this, and that's something that Brandon and I focus a lot on the show about is kind of media reporters, their role, and how they're doing. Well, how would you say the media has done as far as their coverage as a whole of the entire protest? Because it kind of seems to me what you're saying earlier is that maybe they took the national conversation in the wrong direction by trying to make it more about veterans and things like that, rather than with Kaepernick, him talking, strictly about police brutality. Do you kind of feel like the media is steering us astray on this, or are they reacting to
absolutely.
Us?
Absolutely. They're looking for clicks and advertising, selling advertising space. At the end of the day, like, it is a business, unfortunately. Not everybody involved, but as a whole. And so I've experienced that a lot just with the different, all the different networks I've gone on based on their political stance. They've all either tried to, demonize either Colin and what he's doing or even me in some ways, or the flip of that, trying to like pull me into their side, like I'm their pet and I'm, supporting their political messages. And I'm like not doing any of that. And I try to keep as neutral as I can. And sort of fend off that stuff. But at the same time, I don't turn down any of those larger networks like that, because I think it's an important message to talk about. And I also want people that are watching those channels to see that I'm trying to, that there are people out there that are keeping an open mind both ways and understand that there's also a lot of good, police officers that do it the right way, and they're getting demonized in this whole thing too from the other side, and that's something that needs to be talked about more. So anyway, it's complicated and frustrating, but more than anything, the action moving forward is what is important and what really matters.
Right. Yeah, Nate, I just would say thank you from all of us as part of the radical middle is what I call us. The
ones I love that we do. That's perfect.
We all look at this and we say, I get where Cap's coming from. And hey, I get where Nate's coming from. And I get where the veterans are coming from. And get where the cops are coming from. And I think we can figure this all out. So you talked a little bit about action going forward. What do you think the next steps are for somebody like Kaepernick or anybody who is involved in this? Like, what can, because they can't just kneel forever, right? Like, there has to be action that comes next.
No. Yeah, there's got to be measurable goals that you are aspiring to achieve. That's the key. What measurables do you have? What's the mission's objective here? Setting those, and you can't say things like, end racism and whatever, because it's going to be around forever. I'm sorry, but it just is at some level.
All right, Nate, we've talked a lot about some of the stuff you've been involved with here lately and kind of being a part of that national conversation. But let's talk about some long snapping, because I have some long snapping questions for you, Nate. Because this is a position that fascinates both Brandon and I. First off, how in the world does the starting center how is he not able to be a long snapper? Like, what's the difference? How does that not happen?
Well, I mean, it's a specialized, very highly specialized skill. It takes years, or sometimes weeks in my case, to to master. Now, it's a different snap. You got to be real consistent. You got to put a lot of zip on it. And you got to be, that's your only job. And there's been a lot of guys around the league. I wouldn't just, call out the guy up in your neck of the woods. I don't know him, but I'm sure he's very good at what he does most of the time. But there's a lot of guys in the league that kind of had a couple rough weeks, or a rough week, I should say, long snapping wise. But I'll tell you whose phone is not ringing. It's mine.
So. Does that disappoint you at all when you see some bad performances, either consistently or even on a one-time basis, and you go, I know I can do better than that guy, and but my phone's not ringing.
Yeah, it is. I'm not going to lie to a little bit, but I mean, I also know what I was up against to even get the shot, being as my size and age and experience level. But no, absolutely. I mean, I only played in that one game, you know, but all my snaps were good. So I think it was not fair.
To me, Nate, I think that maybe you're just disappointed because you want to build up that weight again, right? You want to go back to, you know, eating cake and donuts and whatever it takes to get back up to that playing weight, right?
God, no, I actually ate pretty healthy when I did that. I just ate so much and it was like, it became such a chore. Everyone was always like, man, that's awesome. You get to eat all you want and so much. And that must be so much fun. I'm like, no, it's horrible. Having to wake up in the middle of the night and like force yourself to eat when you're not hungry at all is awful. I'm sorry. It's just, and you feel like a glutton. It's just like, no thanks. I'm back down to like 185 right now. I lost all that weight.
Wow. Wow. So Nate, the other thing I've been noticing about these long snappers lately and just the position as a whole, like it seems like as far as, most of the duties, it's not too bad, but it seems like on field goals and PATs, it's like snap the ball and just try to stand up for as long as you can before somebody just knocks you on your butt. I mean, is it pretty much that? I mean, do you even have a chance to really block somebody? Because basically every long snapper I see, it's snap the ball and then they get knocked right on their ass. Like that seems miserable, about as miserable as getting up in the middle of the night and force feeding yourself.
You think they get knocked on their ass more on field goals than punts?
It seems like
I feel like it's... I feel like it's way more on punts. You don't really see it as much, though, because the ball, they'll follow the punter and the ball, you know?
Right.
So, or it's a wide shot. But if you ever watch close-up or game film of the snappers on punts, they get destroyed quite often. It's pretty funny. But, you know, field goals, too. I mean, it happens. But really, you just try to stay low and then sort of lean to one side or the other to help out the guard, depending on which side the pressure's coming from. And I never had that much of a problem with it. My first year doing it, I feel like I got thrown around a little bit, but I mean, I never got absolutely, you know, manhandled, but I mean, I was college football in the NFL is different still. So,
well, you're good enough to make it to the NFL. So you had to be an above average college long snapper too, I'm guessing.
Yeah. I'd say above average is about the extent of my athletic prowess.
You don't want to go expert?
Hey, that's like, well, 7 steps above where I made it. I got cut in the 7th grade playing center. So there's really, I don't have anything, Nate.
Hey man, I got cut from my 8th grade basketball team and I got cut from the baseball team like my sophomore year or something. So,
well, here's a fun fact. Adam and I actually warmed the bench together in 8th grade for basketball.
That's
so
true.
That's pretty fun.
Brandon got more play than I did. I don't know how that happened, but he did.
I played defense. That's why.
That's true.
So, Nate, some people, I think, you know, it's been a while since you were brought in as an undrafted free agent by the Seahawks. It's been a while since you started playing college ball with the Texas Longhorns. You kind of jokingly said it only took you a couple of weeks to pick it up. But could you retell the story about how you decided that you wanted to become a long snapper and where you were when you made that decision?
I mean, pretty much it was during spring ball, trying to find a way on the field. I mean, I was on the scout team for safety, and I was just trying to find a way to play meaningful snaps, not just, you know, garbage time on kickoff coverage or something. So I noticed that the snapper was a senior and the backup was a senior, and so I just started snapping and kind of messing with it, and I sort of had a knack for it, I guess, from pitching maybe in baseball, and I could throw the ball decent. So that had something to do with it. And then I just started tooling around with it. And then I went overseas on a deployment for a few months and took a ball with me. And like all my free time, I just snapped and kind of, you know, got a real, almost like addicted to just trying to get good. Because I knew if I came back, Coach Brown told me if I came back and, you know, I was doing all right, that I'd be able to compete for the job. And not only did that, dude, I came back and I won the job. So it was it panned out for sure.
What was that experience like playing at Texas for all those years?
It was awesome. It was awesome. You know, just a week and a half ago, I went back there for the Texas Notre Dame game and got to sit in the student section for the first time. And like, it's just so cool. Such an amazing atmosphere. And you sometimes you don't quite enjoy the moment or realize it when you're playing, because you're focused on the task at hand. But man, it was cool. When I'm looking back, there's a lot of cool moments, and I remember feeling, you know, when you're in a big game, even if you lost the game, just throughout that constant, you know, the ups and downs, the adrenaline rush, all that stuff is, it's exhausting, but it's fun.
Very cool. Well, Nate, really want to thank you for coming back on the show. You know, I mentioned merging vets and players, your organization with Jay Glazer and Water Boys. Anything you want to mention about those two groups before you go?
Yeah, I mean, we're still, still doing those. I'm planning on going back with Water Boys to climb Kilimanjaro again in February. I think it looks like we're going to try to go with a group of vets. So we're sort of planning that out, raise more money for clean water wells again. And then MVP, Merging Vets and Players, we're based out of Los Angeles. What we've been doing recently is having about 15 to 20 homeless veterans that live in the Los Angeles area here. A lot of them are in a shelter not far from the gym, actually. They come up on Thursdays and we train at the gym, and then we kind of sit around and have fireside chat, and all the guys share about where they're at, and we kind of try to coach them up and help them find that next identity and purpose and all that. And then we link them up with players that are kind of getting done playing too. And some of them are still playing. They're just in their off season, and they'll be in there and they'll train with us and kind of build those bonds and get that camaraderie and brotherhood feeling back to a lot of those guys that really miss it. So they're both really cool programs that just definitely proud to be a part of.
And folks can follow you on Twitter at NateBoyer37 if they want to keep updated on everything you got going on. You're a busy guy, Nate. I appreciate you coming on the show, giving us some time, and look forward to seeing what's next for you.
Thank you so much, guys. Really appreciate it. Go Hawks.
Take a ride on the 12 train, tie it to the tracks, and make you feel the pain.